So as you're developing your personal brand, how do you interact with your community, with your fan base? I've got five specific tips, which I call the five R's, that will revolutionize the way that you approach just this very thing. Let's jump into it. Hey guys, Frisk here. Welcome back to the Creator's Toolkit. And today's topic comes from a very good friend of mine, a creator out in the gaming community, ESG Brandon, or Brandon Rita. So shouts out to Brandon for asking this specifically to me. He shot me a message on Twitter and he asked specifically, so Frisk, you know, as a younger individual that's trying to learn how to grow and build a personal brand, how do you interact with your fan base? How do you interact with them across social and with the content that you create? See, so that's a really good question, and I'm really glad that Brandon asked that specifically. And you know, as I was about to respond via that thread, and I said to him, you know what, like, I'm going to give you what I call the five R's, and I'll give you the high level, but wait to listen to the podcast, because I think there's more people that have this specific issue that just don't know how to interact and like carry themselves as a personal brand. But I put together five very easy tips, you know, the five R's that I've said before, that's going to help you guys do that. So we're going to jump right into it. Not going to waste any time talking further about this topic. Let's get into R number one. So the first R is to be real. And you're probably saying, come on, Fris, like, to be real, like, really? Like, that's a tip? And I'm going to say, yeah, because it's more important than you think. You know, being authentic to who you are is very important to how you interact with your community. And I want to be able to tell you a little bit of a story to emphasize that specifically. Because there's a lot of creators out there that they want to mimic another personality. They want to try and mimic somebody else to try and grow the way that they did. So you might be watching, you know, you might be watching QJB, who's, you know, a big sports YouTuber in the space, and you look at the way that he talks and his lingo, you know, and more, and you might actually try and copy something like that. You might feel like you need to emulate his style to grow big in the same way that he did. But there's a couple bad things that can happen from that. The first is, ultimately, you're faking it. You're faking it to make it. You're being somebody else. You're being this personality, this character that isn't you, to try and make it big. And that gets exhausting, you know, to try and fake it. You know, have you ever been in a relationship where you've got into the relationship and done all these different things? You know, if you're a guy, you opened all these doors, you know, bought all these gifts. You've done these things to try and woo, the individual you're trying to date. But ultimately, over time, like, that's exhausting. And if you stop doing that, you know, your partner is going to look to you and get confused, because they're going to feel like you've changed. When the reality is, you didn't change. You were just trying to be somebody else so you can seal the deal. You know, for myself, it wasn't till like, later on in my life that I figured out that if you just be who you are, be real to yourself, the way you think, the way you feel, the way you speak, and just be you, you're far more interesting than you think. And it's a little bit of a trap to try and be somebody else. You know, the second thing, let's just say you are somebody else, and then you start to get popular as that character, that personality, then you're kind of trapped into being that personality forever. You know, this actually recently happened to KSI, you know, who's a big YouTuber, started out doing FIFA, then he got into, you know, music and lifestyle, but ultimately he was playing a character, and he did that for 4 or 5 years. Where, you know, JJ, you know, in real life was different than KSI. And then even KSI, he, you know, started to create tour, you know, trying to lean in towards to get more views, doing more dramatic, more, unique differentiation things. And then ultimately got put in a position where he felt like he couldn't even be himself anymore. And so he had to step away. And so that's a big challenge, you know, to be real is to be authentic to yourself. And the last thing I'll say about it is that being real is far more interesting than you think. You know, you might think that you leave a, you know, boring life, and you might think that you don't do anything interesting, but the reality is your thoughts, your ideas, you know, the things going through your mind, the location that you're at and how you experience them, and the work that you do around all of that, you know, whether it be family, friends, or, you know, alone, those perspectives are so unique. And I guarantee if you are just authentic and real in the way that you project that outwards on a day-to-day basis and share your experience, you know, document your life, you will, you know, just like they say in the Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come. And so that's my plea to you. For the first R, my big tip is just to be real. Be real to yourself and you'll be happier in the long run. So the second R is to be relevant. And you guys have heard me talk about this topic before, you know, about being relevant. And it's not so much about trying to be a relevant creator. It's more about looking at what are the relevant topics and interests and trends in conversations that are happening around, you know, within your community. And so ultimately, every day when you wake up, you should be thinking to yourself, what can I talk about to be relevant to my audience right now? You know, ultimately, no one wants to hear about like old news, or if you're just sharing things that aren't like relevant to the current conversation, or even worse, are incredibly tone deaf and, you know, not self-aware, then that's actually going to affect you negatively from a personal brand standpoint. Ultimately, if you want to be followed and you want people to follow you as a personal brand, then you need to be a thought leader. You need to be a trendsetter yourself. And so paying attention to what's happening in the world, you know, real world, pop culture, you know, technology trends and more. You know, if you are able to find out those trends and then reel them back and then talk about them in a way that they pertain to your audience, you know, your community and the interests that they have, you'll be very much a leader of your community. Now, naturally, you're the leader because people are following you, but you want to always consistently be doing that. You want to consistently be bringing new ideas and thoughts, you know, and more to the table on a daily basis. And so I'll give you a couple examples of how you could be relevant, you know, upcoming. So if you're creating, let's just say, gaming content, if you're creating gaming content right now, just like Brandon might be for Evil Source Gaming, that's where the ESG Brandon and, you know, and his name comes in. He's also trying to build his personal brand as well, you know, just as Brandon, or maybe another alias he might come up with. I'll have to have him share that directly in response to this podcast. But, you know, if he's creating gaming content, he should be looking at what's coming up and what has already passed. And to try and diversify and not just, you know, cover from gaming from a review standpoint, but there could be some thoughtful analysis that's done. You know, for example, it feels really controversial, but the conversation around microtransactions, games as a service, you know, loot boxes and more is a very topical conversation that Brandon could talk about now. Now, I'm sure he's probably staying away from it because he doesn't want to get in this situation where he's talking negatively about, you know, a company. But I think you can do that without, you know, having a negative tone. You can just relay the facts. You can just talk in statements about what's happening. What specific games are actually engaging in microtransactions, which is about this time, almost all of them. Like, in some way, shape, or form, there's Season Pass, there's loot crates, there are, you know, packs like in Ultimate Teams, there's even in-game currency like Grand Theft Auto. There, every game right now has some form of that. And so if I were Brandon and I were trying to create a personal brand as a thought leader to be relevant, I would talk about that through his perspective. What does he like? What does he dislike about all of these gameplay systems? And what recommendation could he give to the development team at scale? See, now the third R is to be relatable. And I want to talk about to be relatable in the sense of how it compares to others that are creating content throughout the rest of the entertainment industry, whether it be music, you know, television, film, and more, not just social or not just, you know, gaming, if you will, not just YouTube. So, you know, being relatable, what does it mean to be relatable? Now, so ultimately, if you want people to follow you, then, you know, in your personal brand, you're not, they're not just following your personality, they're following your ethos. They're following your backbone, your spine. And so ultimately, you want your audience, you want your community, you want your fan base to believe what you believe. You know, there's a renowned psychologist, marketer, philosophical marketer named Simon Sinek that has a really popular phrase that's really stuck with me for a long time. And it's, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And he'll say it over and over again. People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And it comes deep inside your limbic brain, which is the touchy-feely. Have you ever said to yourself, like, oh, it's just in my gut, this is my intuition? Well, that's your limbic brain telling you that, you know, you feel a certain way. But the limbic brain has no control over rational thought. And so ultimately, that's why you may feel good or bad about a situation, but rationally, it might be irrational or rational. And so it's a really interesting concept. But if you're trying to evoke an emotional response, to try and trigger an emotional reaction that has a more rational background, then you're going to have to appeal to people's whys. You're going to have a backbone. You're going to have to be relatable and get people to believe what you believe, to believe your spine. And the best way to do that, in my opinion, is to be relatable. So like I said before, we're going to compare it to some other entities or other creators in the entertainment industry. And I want to talk about musicians. Now, how many of you out there have fell in love with the musician who has like the heroic comeback story or come out of nowhere story where they grew up from nothing and they overcome all odds to make it? And it's this, you know, overnight success type of message. But the reality is there is no such thing as an overnight success. You know, these people have been grinding and working for, you know, years, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, getting their 10,000 hours. But ultimately, what makes them really relatable, really likable, is they have a shared story with the audience. And so let's use another example, too. Let's talk about an actor who has been on top, but then fallen off and come back. You know, that redemption story is incredibly relatable too. And you might ask yourself, like, I get that because I feel that, but like, why? Tell me why, Frisk. Tell me why that, you know, redemption stories matter. It's because all of us deep inside, we want to believe that if we fail, if we hit rock bottom, or if we're at rock bottom right now, that we can make it back. That we can climb back out of the gutter and we can achieve just like that individual. And so that person becomes incredibly relatable to us. We want to know what they did. We want to learn every little detail about them so that we can replicate and emulate their success. I mean, for sure, that's what's happening on YouTube as well, where, you know, guys like Peter McKinnon, Casey Neistat, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, are notable, you know, in modern society when it comes to YouTube, you know, from a followership standpoint, because they came from incredibly, you know, small, like, you know, humble beginnings and have achieved. And we all want to do that, you know, that very thing. And so, you know, for relatability for you, you've got to think about what's your story. And you got to be okay with telling your story. You got to be okay with admitting your faults and admitting your failures because that makes you more relatable. That makes you more human. And people follow humans. They don't follow robots. So now the fourth R is to be rare. Now, it's being rare is closely related to the first number one there that I talked about being real. It's just another degree of it, but it's also incredibly important. That's why it gets its own call out here in the five R's. But to be rare is to be unique, be different. Now, I'm sure many of you by now have heard me say this very thing, but I've said it's better to be different than it is to be good. You know, people follow different. Different stands out. And so, you know, you don't want to be a copycat. You want, you know, you don't want to follow somebody else and try and emulate their story. You want to find your own story and create your own story. You don't want to emulate the tactics and the strategies. Maybe the strategies are okay here and there, but you don't want to emulate the tactics and the execution of other creators in the space when you're building your brand, because you're just not going to stand out. You're not going to be rare. You're going to be common. And to be common is to be noise when it comes to standing out as a creator. And so teaming up, like pairing up being real and rare, ultimately is the spine that I talked about, you know, as being a creator. Now, there's no one on this world that can be you. There's no one on this world that can speak the way in which you speak, have the ideas in which you have. And then ultimately to be rare is just to be able to deliver them in a way that's different. And it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, we're talking about completely different, like off the wall, like you're sitting on a tree branch while you're doing your vlog type of thing. Now, that might be an idea for some people to just stand out and be iconic. But in this instance, you know, I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting that there's a world where, and you might have heard, some people might have heard me say this before too, but there's a world of fusion, where you can take two very good things that are, you know, great on their own independently, and you could fuse them together to make something completely new and unique. And, you know, that goes for a lot of different, you know, aspects of creating. And, you know, I've talked a lot about people I, you know, I'm close with and have relationships with and create a lot of content with. But in this specific example, I want to talk about Mighty Goat. So Mighty Goat has, you know, got over 100,000 subscribers on YouTube here under a year. And a lot of people are asking him, like, how did you do it? You know, I see you creating about games a lot. I see you doing some in real life baseball. I see you doing some wiffle ball, blitz ball videos. What did you do? And, you know, I've always told this to him, but I've said, you know, he's been different. There's no one that's creating gaming content, like baseball gaming content for sure, baseball content in general, like Mighty Goat. And if you go to his channel and you sort all of his videos and look at the top 10, almost every one of them is a video that's never been done before. You know, he threw a Twinkie at a wall to see how fast he could throw it. You know, just recently the other day, him and his brother and cousin, they made wiffle ball bats out of duct tape, and they kind of crafted their own, created their own to see who could make the best one and who could hit a blitz ball the farthest. I mean, the creativity in that idea is nuts. And ultimately, that's what this is about. Being rare is to push yourself creatively. You can't just look to someone else's channel and do what they did. You're going to have to dig deep within. Like I said, be real, but to be rare, you're going to have to come up with an idea. You have to come up with multiple ideas over and over and over again that no one else has done. And so that's my challenge to you. Spend your time planning and coming up with ideas from a creative sense, and then practically, you know, as a practitioner, go out there and execute. If you do that, and if you do it consistently, you're going to win. The fifth and final R is to be rational. Now, it's to have empathy. It's to understand that you're an individual, that while you might have opinions and perspectives, that you want to be able to put yourself in the shoes of the other person just as much as you do yourself. So act as a rational human being. You know, if you're going to, you know, deliver and have a personal brand that's open for public criticism, then before you create and talk, you want to put yourself in the shoes of your audience and the people that might see it. And by doing so, you're going to prevent yourself from saying and doing things that might offend other people or might make them unhappy. And then ultimately, you're going to be able to deliver tips and advice and honestly, the content that they want by, you know, employing an empathy, putting yourself in the shoes of other people, you know, to be, you know, more rational. And there's kind of a part two to that as well. And, you know, to be rational is to understand, you know, the impact of what you're, you know, creating and delivering. You know, it's one big trap that I see a lot of creators get into. They get so fixated on doing a certain thing in a certain format And they, you know, see other people doing it, or they don't, or they feel comfortable doing it. And so they just keep doing it over and over and over, but not trying to look at it from a more rational perspective to even see if the value's there. You know, this recently happened to me the other day where, you know, I had went on a stint where I was making one to two videos every single day for like 2-3 months. And it was stunting my creativity. It was like making it really difficult for me to create something that, you know, would really be consumed in a positive way from all of, you know, my audience and fan base. But I stumbled across and created something that, you know, went, you know, micro viral. And the amount of views on that individual video versus the views of all the, you know, content I had made over the last 3 months was neck and neck. It was even. So there I was, looking at one video that got, you know, 180,000 views versus, you know, like 60 videos that got 180,000 views. And I couldn't help but like stop and look at that and think to myself and be like, wow, I'm not being rational. Like I'm like being impractical here. I'm forcing myself to make a bunch of stuff that maybe isn't really engaging in the way that I hope it would. Of course, it's engaging some people, but I'm trying to, you know, you're trying to engage at scale. And, you know, I've discovered what it is to engage at scale. But ultimately, in order to achieve, you know, that type of video more and more, I have to change, you know, rationally have to change my workflow. In my process, and really have to push myself to be more creative, you know, to take my own advice. And so, you know, at the end of the day, you know, all of these tips, you know, are going to be helpful, but to be rational is kind of like the dark horse in the sense that if you feel like something's not working, and if you feel like, you know, the type of feedback that you're getting isn't good, then something's up. You know, look into it, try and look at it from a more data perspective. You know, try and marry the, you know, art and science to come up with an informed, you know, view, and then move forward with how you might change it. So that wraps up the 5 R's to building a fan base, building a following, and how you interact with them so that, you know, you excel in building your personal brand, you know, as a social creator. I really hope you take these 5 tips, you know, as gospel and really try and focus on them, you know, every single day. You know, it wasn't till, you know, I really started to focus on these 5 that it started to change my life, you know, like 5 years ago or so. And once you have these like pillars and guidelines and you're always thinking about them, it really governs a lot of what you do, even in a personable one-to-one situation, like in real life. Like I find myself saying and doing specific things because I want to abide by these principles, you know, on a day-to-day basis. And you know, that it's really helped me positively, you know, get to where I want to get. It's helped me learn. It's helped me grow. It's helped me get better. And, you know, I want that for you guys too. So, you know, if you're out there listening, Brandon, I hope this helps. For all of you who also are trying to build a following and interact with them, you know, to you know, through content, I hope this helps you as well too. If it does, would love to let you know, love for you to let me know in, you know, the comments. Let me know on Twitter, you know, at MarkusFrieske. You know, on YouTube, you know, drop a you know, favorite, you know, and comment here on the iTunes podcast. Wherever you can access me, but I'd love to hear any more questions or any more topics and feedback. So thanks for tuning in, and until the next one, we'll see ya. Peace.